Well, I am a bit rusty, Tone. Strike me lucky if the Two Tones hasn't come back for season 2017. We were required players.
It's nice to be retained on the senior list, Tone, rather than summarily, you know, delisted, as to use a football term. Great to be back, and let's hope it's a big year for both the Two Tones and the Blues.
Well, look, I can say on behalf of both of us, thank you to everyone who supported the Two Tones over the last couple of years, and it is a delight. It's a thrill to be back because 2017 already, well, there's something in the air, Tone. You've been at Princes Park over the week. Can you just give us some indication of what is buzzing around the place?
Well, Tone, I know I'm not speaking out of school here. I've been given clearance to mention this, but the great Robert Walls, a three-time Carlton Premiership player and Carlton Premiership coach, I've just had the pleasure, along with Grace, our producer, to have heard Robert address the staff and the players at a lunch here at the club. And Robert was essentially talking about leadership. Took the opportunity to address that matter, and he drew on 50 years of football experience as a player and coach to talk a little bit about leadership, what it meant, and the influence of leaders upon him. And look, the show wouldn't be long enough to perhaps detail everything that he said, but it was so inspiring to hear Robert talk about walking into Carlton, you know, and playing his first game as a 16-year-old 50 years ago, and learning one of the first lessons just from communication by sight, not necessarily verbally on a football field, but by sight. And he talked about how at a ruck contest early in the game, on his debut, that he caught John Nichols's eye at a ruck contest, boundary throw-in. And Nichols motioned with his eyes to Walls to run to this space, the back of where the ruck contest was going to take place. And Robert mentioned, he said, I think Nick wanted me to run to that space. And so dutifully, at the right moment, I took off, ran to the centre, and of course the ball ended up in my lap. Mm-hmm. Nick was put straight down my throat. And he said, I knew a valuable lesson in football in the first 5 minutes of taking the field, that it wasn't necessarily, communication wasn't necessarily only about what happened verbally. Mm-hmm. That there can be ways and means of getting the message across. And then he talked about Ron Barassi and the influence Barassi, the coach, had upon him. The 10-word line that still resonates with him to this day, if it is to be, it is up to me. Oh. And then he talked about some of the players with whom he coached, Wayne Johnston, Craig Bradley, Mark McClure, Stephen Kernahan, who he described as the greatest football person he has met in his time in the game. He also talked about the years as coach of Brisbane and the emergence of the Lions with Vos Akamanis, so forth, and probably football's greatest story of the past 25 years, the Western Bulldogs' premiership in 2016. And he talked about the relative youth of the Bulldogs' playing list and looked around the room at players like Wiedering, McKay, Cripps, all of them, and said, you know, the handful of Bulldogs players had only played 20 games or less. It can be done. Mm-hmm. It can be done. So it was just... it was awe-inspiring to hear Robert Walls talk. And I think what was fantastic was the fact that he was back at the club and that he was so well-supported by the young players. He made the point of how chuffed he was at the players to a man went over to introduce themselves to him and welcome him back to the fold. Robert's always been a Carlton person, don't get me wrong, but it was just great to see him back in the room and to hear him speak so complimentary of the current group. And
he didn't even get them to the point where they wanted to run through a brick wall, did he?
No. Well, inconvenient
before round one.
No, it would be inconvenient. We're trying to keep them in cotton wool, the countdown, Tone. But look, it's just such a great lead into this game. And all power to the players Thursday night. There's been a fair bit of criticism bandied around from certain external quarters. But I'm sure what we'll see on Thursday night is a truly honest, committed performance from Bryn Bolton's players.
That's what we want. Look, before we get to discussing that, all I would want for the senior group is they give as good an account of themselves as the women's team have over the last couple of months. That has been a magnificent success story for the Carlton Football Club.
What a story it has been, Tony. And again, not one to name drop here, but during the lunch I was actually sitting next to Damien Keeping, the resident coach of the Carlton AFLW team, and he was telling me how he dutifully kept a like a diary of everything that had basically happened to the women's team since the draft. So his diary entries commenced 2 days before the draft commenced, and he purposefully kept a record of everything that happened that historic maiden season right through. A lot of it was on dictaphone, he said, and what he said to me, he said he was listening back on it the other night, just different moments, different times when things were happening. And the beauty of the dictaphone was he was actually able to hear the passion in his voice, where he really emphasised certain elements or certain other areas really meant a lot to him. And he said it was great that I could actually hear the passion in my voice, because it emphasised some of the more significant moments that have happened along the way. So, you know, we don't have that luxury of having the first year of Carlton's men's team being recorded in VFL history, you know, 120 years ago. But thankfully, technology allows us to record these things, and Damien Keeping has done the job. But what a year for the women of Carlton, and women, period, in the game. The game has given them afforded them the opportunity to play at the highest level. It's a great story.
Well, and next year promises to be even better. Now, Tone, we're going to preview what's been going on before round one, certainly around the club here, for the men's, that is. Gold Coast training camp.
Yes. Look, the Gold Coast training camp was probably as Spartan as you could possibly have. It was relentless. Yeah. It was demanding of the players, and the players to a man responded accordingly. I think part of the attraction of the camp away was to basically, you know, unify the group, to bring them all together, particularly the newly drafted players, of which there, you know, there are many.
They wouldn't have had to travel far.
Either I'm getting older, or they're getting younger. I don't know.
They wouldn't have had to travel far, half of that group.
Very true, very true. But look, it was, I suppose it was a, you know, as much as anything, a bonding opportunity for Brendan Bolton and the group.
Yeah.
And Mark Murphy had mentioned also at the lunch how solid that training session was. But I think they've come out the other end so much the better. And you know, Brendan Bolton's had, what, probably 18 months now to work with his group. And I think, you know, the benefit of a really solid pre-season will certainly stand the players, both old and young, in good stead. You speak of Murphy. I mean, Murphy's probably had his first full pre-season sometime. Crews are the same.
Yeah.
And you can see how much freer of movement they are because of it. So, again, as I say, Thursday night, I think we'll see a pretty committed showing across the board by everyone from Mark Murphy down.
I'll get to that in a moment, but we remember the pre-season camp in Tasmania last year and the stay awake all night exercise, and there was only one player I remember of the new players who did, and it's a delight to be able to say the name again. We remember? It was Jakob Wietering. I want to know.
By thunder there.
From the Gold Coast camp, was there any of the new recruits who kind of, stood up, who made the impact that Jakob did last year?
Well, the players that sort of come to mind is Caleb Marchbank. You know, I mean, he's already been touted as a 10-year centre-half back for the club.
Yeah.
I mean, that's quite extraordinary. He certainly has acquitted himself well. Little sidelight about Marchbank on the Gold Coast, that I think it's his great aunt had arranged to catch up with him there in a break between sessions up north. And his great aunt happened to be the daughter of Jim Marchbank, who's a two-time premiership player for Carlton here under Jack Worrell. So we're talking, you know, the 06, 07 and 08 period.
Yeah.
A long, long time ago. So there's a living link between Caleb Marchbank and a two-time premiership player, Jim. And I think Caleb's great aunt's coming down to the game, which is fantastic.
Has she got a mouth on her? Has she got a...
No. She's
can
quite...
Can she be trusted compose herself and comport herself well?
She's 90 plus, so yep. I think she'd be reasonably sedate, but, you know, football does strange things to people,
yes,
doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Sammy Petrevsky-Seaton, a bit hard to say, Sammy Petrevsky-Seaton, the boy from Halls Creek, 800 kilometres inland from Broome. And,
yes,
You know, incredible journey just to get to the club. He's had that setback recent times with the quad, I think, but on his way back now. And again, a player that Carlton obviously took early, so they obviously rate him pretty highly. And again, it's another player that I think a new player that we add to the mix. As Brendan Bolton, the coaching fraternity, continue to the rebuild. The one that's probably made a more immediate impression is Jared Pickett.
Yeah.
I mean, Pickett looks like he's ready to go. Was crueled by injury at GWS. Seriously hurt his ankle, I think, fourth game in the reserves and never really got a go at it. But he's obviously shown the lead-up matches that he's ready and more than able. Very exciting player. Yeah. So he's another one I think that would be... he has made an impression and I dare say be knocking on the door for Thursday night.
So you don't know anything about selection. Obviously, it's too early at this stage. But the thing I did read in the Herald Sun over the week was that a lot of the young players will be played.
Yes, yes. Well, I mean, I think that's the only course the club can take. You know, there's been a little bit of criticism for where the list is at. But, I mean, I think you have to afford the Carlton model circa 2017 time. Time is what is required here and time and games that the club gets into these players that we've talked about. So, as I mentioned earlier with Robert Walls' comment about the Western Bulldogs, you know, you have premiership players of the Western Bulldogs that are 14, 15, 20 games in. So players can learn pretty quickly and they can adapt pretty quickly. And as Walsy said, you know, to the players one and all, don't sell yourselves short because it can be done. So I think what we're going to see is steady improvement with every game that this young group of players play.
What did you make of the JLT series?
Well, look... you can't read a lot into it. I mean, the Melbourne game was pretty appalling, as was the St Kilda game. The Freo performance was a lot better, obviously. But just early this morning, I contacted John Nicholls because it's actually 60 years this year that he ran out for the first time.
Wow.
The first round of 1957 here at Princes Park. And I asked Big Nick about practice matches, and he said... Never worried about them when I coached. It wasn't about the practice matches. It was planning and preparation for round one. And he said, I'm pretty bullish that the Carlton team Thursday night will put up a committed showing. He said, I know that they've prepared for this day and I think we'll see a different Carlton take to the field. So it was really heartening for him to say that. And he talked also about how he so looked forward to seeing the likes of Harry Mackay play and also Jakob Wiertering, you know, maybe if he plays forward, just to see how far he's come in that 12-month period. So so to hear, you know, the greatest ever Carlton player talk about those young players, you know, he's been there and done that, Big Nick, but to hear him talk about those players and to endorse what the club is trying to achieve with their rebuild... it's actually really heartening to hear.
Do you think Harry Mackay might be the story of 2017?
Well, look, let's hope so. I mean, you look at Harry.
I don't want to put pressure on.
We can't put pressure on the kid. But
you know, in the same way that Cripps was a story that was building and building and then, you know, had that breakout year and that debut, I feel the same about Harry.
Well, you might be right because, again, if you look at Harry's first year, I mean, it was crueled with injury. So, he didn't really get a chance... to make an impression. Touch wood, he's got through the pre-season in flying colours. And, I think just to see him out there playing, it's going to be exciting. You know, I mean, you look at the fellow, he's 6'8", the old measurement, and he runs like, you know, Nick Riewoldt. You know, he's a great athlete. So at that height, you know, he only has to clunk a couple and suddenly he's a really dangerous player. So... I think we look with anticipation, you know, at what Harry can do this year. The most important thing is that they get games into them and players like him get through.
Now, with Thursday night, we know it's 7:20 MCG, Carlton v Richmond at the MCG. We know there'll be debutants for the Carlton Football Club, obviously. we just need people to get on down there because it is going to be... we hope at the very least a contest.
Yes.
When, you know, and we want to basically get more bums on seats than Adele did.
Well, what was it, 70,000?
75.
Yeah, well, it can be done.
We've got a we've got a much better back catalogue than her.
Yes.
16 premierships, thank you.
Very, very true. Now, look, let's hope we can get 75,000 plus there. It's a Carlton home game. People are hanging out for round one. And I suppose if you look at Carlton, there is an element of the unknown, isn't it? Because, you know, the team, the model is so new and inexperienced. So I think a lot of Carlton supporters will probably go along open-minded this Thursday night. You know, it's the unknown that is probably as much an attraction as anything. How will these young players perform under the scrutiny of 70,000 plus spectators and a viewing audience around the country of millions. You know, it's a big moment for them, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And Tigers supporters are happier they get to see their default Brownlow medalist play. So that's always good for them. It is a great rivalry, and we do love the rivalry with Richmond supporters. And we know there's a better than even chance there won't be a spelling mistake in the Richmond banner as they run through. I mean, that's exciting.
Well, it is exciting, Tane, but of course, if you make level criticisms like that about the spellings of banners, you do leave yourself open. It can come back to haunt, believe me.
Don't I know that. So, get on down. How do you think we're going to... who do we need to watch out for at Richmond?
Well, I think Dusty's
obviously.
Yeah, Dusty's the one.
How you nullify him is the big question.
Well, that's true. And I think the other player that they'll have to somehow put clamps on is Rance.
Yeah.
I think Rance is the player that really sets Richmond up from the defensive half. So I think you're going to have to look at someone that can, play a nullifying role on Rance, because he's such an attacking, rebounding halfback flanker. I think if you go towards negating Rance and, you know, quelling Dustin Martin's influence, particularly with Deledio not there now, you're probably going to go a long way to actually, you know, taking out the contest. So
who would get Rance then in that case, do you think?
Oh, gee, it's a great question. I haven't really thought that far along, to tell you the truth.
Did Big Nick maybe offer to take that?
He's not available. Right. He's not available. But see, even with Martin, I mean, the problem with Dusty has been when he's gone forward. And in previous years, Zach has taken him and struggled with him, actually.
Oh, okay.
You know, Martin's got away a few times in crucial moments in games, kicking big goals going forward. So I wish I could, offer an answer to your question, Tony, but that's probably best left to the coach. He's far better equipped than I am to hazard a guess as to who those players might earn as opponents.
Well, there are great minds at work as we speak attending to that particular problem. Now, before we go, Tone, the VFL, the Northern Blues they've aimed to maintain their undefeated pre-season title as they prepare to take the Tigers at Punt Road from 4:30 p.m. Entry is free, we should point out.
That's nice. Always nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
As it was for the AFLW, which was...
Well, it was a lockout here.
It wasn't great to see the old ground, you know,
heaving.
At its finest, heaving, you know, with masses of humanity. It was magnificent to see. And, I'm all for that. It was great. But, yes, we encourage all our supporters to get along to see the Northern Blues strut their stuff. Be magnificent to see.
But, of course, don't forget that the main game is this Thursday, 23rd of March, MCG, 7:20. Get there to see... the first game of what is going to be a fascinating season for the Carlton Football Club, Tone.
You'll be there, Tone.
Of course,
before
I'll be there.
Shift.
Yes, and then I'll go to work afterwards for my regular media gig. But I will be hopefully walking on clouds.
You'll
afterwards.
Be putting on the cans with euphoric delight
exactly.
on Thursday evening. I'm sure.
Yes, well, that's certainly the plan. And look, and if it's not, there's always next week.
There is indeed, but not that we're looking that far ahead. There's a couple of wags in the crowd here. I can see Bryce and Big Dale is flexing the pecs, Dale. Keep it for Thursday, pal.
Yeah. It is official. Dale Thomas is in very good nick for season 2017.
He's ready to go.
This has been The Two Tones, Tony DeBolfo, Tony Moclair.
Episode Silvani. Lovely to get that one in under wraps for the year. And, Tone, can I finish off with a little track that has kindly been forwarded to the club by Mark Stewart, a 25-year member of the Carlton Football Club. You'll hear Mark offer a rendition of a track entitled The Buzz. He wrote it as an anthem, much the same as Port Adelaide's, you know, never tear us apart. That was the thinking behind it.
Well, and there's a nice bit of marketing from those guys, I've got to say.
And his three-year-old daughter, his daughter, a three-year member of Carlton, also features in the chorus. So it's nice for Mark to take us out today with a rousing Carlton-centric song.
Go Blues.
Go Blues.
Disaster in the goal square, diesel with the pass. Saw the fullback of the century kick 10 at Prince's Park. But that was then, and this is now, and we can talk all day. Or we can make them wish they never met those boys from Royal Parade. We are the Navy Blues and we come to play. They don't like us, but it's better that way. We are the Navy Blues and we're up for the fight. Calling all blue baggers for life. We are the Navy Blues. Not afraid to blood the kids. Our old blokes take the hit. But everyone who wears our jumper goes when the turn is his. On a journey to the cup, sons and daughters, whole of club. Our favourite season's football season and we can't get enough.